Praise God. Please turn over in your Bibles to Exodus 15, 26. We've been in a series called The Lord Our Healer. This is the third part. Exodus 15, 26, or it's on your sheet as well. Now, on Wednesdays, we speak on faith and healing. Every Wednesday. When we started services on Wednesdays 5 years ago, four and a half years ago, that's what we felt, to focus on faith and healing. And that's what we've done, and we'll do that. It doesn't mean you can't preach on other things. It's just that that's what we focus on Wednesday night. So we preach continually on that. And those messages are on the website. But, you know, felt like we should preach on that during this time and on Sunday mornings as well. So right now we're in this series. And it's been good so far. God is good to us. Exodus 15, 26. Is everybody there? Exodus 15, 26. Now, if you didn't hear the first few messages, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. They'll build on one another. And we will cover some of these things, you know, in review. But they'll keep building on one another. So some things, we just can't repeat everything, obviously. Exodus 15, 26, it says, "And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." He said, "I am the Lord who heals you." On your sheet there, Exodus 15, 26, in the New American Standard Bible says, "For I, the Lord, am your healer." Now that word, when it says, "I'm the Lord, your healer," what that is in Hebrew is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah is "I'm the Lord." And you see, and we talked about a little bit on the in the first message, but we'll go back to those, I think, but we'll see. Just because we mentioned them in passing, but there are a number of covenant names that the Lord has. So Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace. Jehovah Rapha is the Lord your healer. That's what it's saying here. The Lord who heals you is the Lord your healer. Now that word Rapha, the Hebrew word, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but you can look this up. This is out of Strong's concordance and dictionary. That word means to cure, to cause to heal. It means physician. It means repair thoroughly or make whole. So when you say, "I am the Lord," when he says, "I am the Lord your healer," he's saying, "I am the Lord who cures you. I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord your physician," or "the Lord your doctor." Isn't that good? Thank God for medical doctors. Thank God for people that practice in the medical profession and all that we've learned. Because there's a lot of people that would be in sad shape, Christians included, if it weren't for doctors. That's not God's best and highest. His best is for us to walk in divine health by his power and strength. You know, 300 years ago, they didn't know what we know now medically. And, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back for a while, I mean, I believe we're getting real close, but if for some reason he's not back in 100, 200 years, they're going to know a lot more than they do now. But God always, he knows everything there is to know now. Always has. Just because we're finding out certain things, he already knew it. And he knew it back here. You realize he knew everything medical science has found out now, everything they ever will find out when this was written thousands of years ago. He knew all the names that men were going to give to certain diseases. There's nothing new. There's maybe new things that have come out as stuff has progressed in this world. We are under a curse. The world is under a curse. There is sickness and disease as a result of that curse. So yes, there's sickness and disease in this world. Yes, it's continued to change and mutate and all this stuff. But God knows all about all that stuff. And he knows how to cure any of it. There is nothing that a doctor or medical science could name that God doesn't already have a cure for. Amen. And like we were talking, I encourage you, go back and listen to the first few messages. Like we were talking about last time, He can cure anything. There is nothing. I won't repeat that message, but just to give you a little bit, we're talking about the God that created the universe. He is so big and so vast. Just a little blip of His power in your body. You know, how many of you have ever flown in an airplane? Most of you. Some of you may haven't. But when you're going up, or coming down, but when you're going up and you start to see all the cars in the buildings, they just get smaller and smaller and smaller until you can't even make them out. You know, if you've flown over farm country, now you can see all the squares and the rectangles and all the different parts that they're planting, right? When you're in your way up there, you have a whole different view, and that's only a very small part of this rinky-dink little planet we're on. It's so small, but you start coming in, you know, and you're going to land, and you see all this stuff, and it gets closer, and pretty soon you can start to make out the houses, all this, you know, this guy, you look at this house that would be considered a mansion, and it's just this little tiny plot of land when you're up in the air, and you see these, you know, million-dollar homes next to each other, and they're just like little, you know, they look like little, the cars and stuff look like little matchbox cars and a little play set. Like, that's a million-dollar place right there, and it's just this little plot of land. You see everything else around it. Well, that's just one little area, and each one of those places is inhabited by people, and then we're talking about just a small, you can't even see a state at that point, maybe part of a city, and then you have this country, and then you have the whole world, and this world is so small compared to the universe. It's nothing. And then when we think, oh, this problem in my left, you know, or my right shoulder here, it hurts, and I don't know if God can take care of that. And when you think of how big He is and vast and everything that there is, and that He created it all, and that He created the human body, and then to say, well, I don't know if He can handle this disease. They said it's incurable. Who said it's incurable? Men that are limited in their knowledge, they may say it's incurable now, and then a year from now, it's curable. See, what they say is impossible now is not impossible absolutely. It's impossible to certain people, to certain individuals. What would be impossible for you to cure, somebody else has the knowledge to cure, even naturally speaking, right? Just because we don't know how to do something doesn't mean impossible. That means impossible to us. There are certain things that would be impossible to me to fix mechanically in my house or my car, but some people, they do it every day. Huh? On the other hand, you know, I work in software. There are certain things that I could probably fix that may be impossible for other people because they don't have the first clue about how to use those tools. Well, God, He knows everything about everything. So we say it's impossible. He's saying, hey, you just flip the switch here. It's done. It's not possible. Just look to me. So no, it's not hard. It's not hard for Him. Everybody say, it's not hard. Nothing is hard for God. Everybody say, nothing. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for my God. Do you believe it?
Yes.
That means nothing. Nothing means nothing. He can do anything. The only part that He can't do is what He's limited Himself. For instance, He will not lie. Everything would blow apart. He cannot. Because everything's upheld by the word of His power. But you talk about sickness, you talk about bodily things, nothing is impossible to Him. It don't matter if it's been there 15 years, He can do it like that. See, that's where we need to get. We need to know who we're dealing with. You need to erase impossibility with Him as far as what He can do. So we spent some time on that. So that word Rapha means to cure, to heal. So remember, we're saying He's the Lord that cures us. He can cure it. How do you cure that? Well, the Lord will cure it. He knows how. The physician, He's our doctor. Thank God we have a doctor that knows everything. Dr. Jesus, what do I do here? He knows. We don't know. You know, you go to some doctors, they don't specialize in that. They don't maybe know, but he knows everything. He says, I know how to do that. Aren't you glad we have a physician that knows everything? It means to repair. What if you need something? We've said this. Your body is just your earth suit. It's a machine. It's all it is. People make this way too, you know, high of a thing sometimes with our bodies. Well, it's, I got this disease. Well, it just means your earth suit's broken in an area. It just needs to be repaired. Go to the one that knows how to repair it. Because what you need is for your earth suit to work correctly so you can get around and do the work God has called you to do. That's it. It's not for the sake, well, I got to get healed for the sake of being healed. No, you just need to get healed so you can do what you need to do so you can get out of here, finish your race. That's what it's all about. Some people get way too hung up on how you get well. Now, we're talking about divine healing. And thank God that's God's highest and best. But don't get hung up on it if you need to have a procedure done. Be led by the Spirit of God. Don't make rules and laws. Well, I just can't do that. You saying you can't, or did God direct you not to? Because you need to know that you need to believe God for divine healing. And if your faith isn't there, you're not assured, and there's a procedure that can take care of that, you go to God and be led by Him. And if it's a mixture of the two, fine. People get hung up saying, well, I can't do that. There is no law. God, you have to be led by Him. The bottom line is, you want to work right. Well, I want to believe God for this. Well, you know what? You could go for 20 years and not have the use of something, or you could get it done. I'm not saying we should or should not go get a medical procedure done, because we're talking about divine healing. God can do anything, but God, if you go to the doctor, you still need to be believing God. Okay? It's not either or. It's not, well, I'm going to believe God and, oh, forget it, I'll go to the doctor. You better start believing God for sure when you go to the doctor. You're going to go under a knife? You could die on that table. You say, well, it's just a little thing. No, I heard of a guy, we know of a guy, they're friends of ours. He had something in his foot that was very small. He almost died because it wasn't healing and it got infected and it got in his body. And you think the devil will kill you with a hangnail if he can. Don't switch off your head and say, well, I'm going to the doctor. God couldn't do it. Oh, no, no, God can do it. Let's walk with Him and get your body well. There's never any condemnation. I'll tell you this, from us, from Shelley and I, and from the ministry we represent, there is never any condemnation about going to a doctor. You will never hear that from us. Anything you ever hear around is not coming from us, and it's somebody's misunderstanding. Okay? There is no condemnation. It's between you and God. Okay? Bottom line is, are you well? Some people think they're believing God and are 15 years up, cooped up in a room and not believing God, and are actually in fear of going to the doctor, and they think they're more spiritual than the person that went, got something done, and is moving on doing something for God. Okay? I'm not saying, bottom line is, let's be led. Amen? Amen. Let's be led. But God, we're talking about that God, Jehovah Rapha, is our physician. That means, the Rapha means he's our physician, means to repair thoroughly, to make whole. Amen. Amen. To make whole. So he is able to do and to heal all. Anyone. He's able to heal anything. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, it's on your sheet there, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he could do something in the Old Testament times, can he do it now? Absolutely he can. If he could do something 500 years ago, can he do it now? He's the same. Did he lose the knowledge to heal certain things? See, some people think, well, he worked in the old or back in the Bible days. He did things, but he doesn't do that today. Says who? Who said that? Show me the scripture that says he doesn't do it anymore. No, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at Hebrews 10:5 on your sheet there. It says, therefore, when he came into the world, Jesus, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. This is Jesus. We can see what the will of God is through Jesus. So if we know what the will of God is in the Word, we can see what Jesus did, how he walked, what he did on this earth. And some people have concluded over time that Jesus, that God does not heal divinely anymore. That's past. That used to be, but is no more. Well, we can look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? John 6:38 on your sheet there, it says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So if we look at Jesus and see what he did and see what those that were following him did, we will know the will of God. Now I want to read you something from F.F. Bosworth in his book, Christ the Healer. It says, perhaps no one could be more conservative than the scholars of the Episcopalian Church. Yet the commission appointed to study the subject of spiritual healing for the body after 3 years of study and research in both the Bible and in history reported back to the church. The healing of Jesus was done as a revelation of God's will for humanity. Because they discovered that his will is fully revealed, they reported further, no longer can the church pray for the sick with that faith-destroying phrase, if it be your will. He goes on to say, the message taught in the Gospels is one of complete healing for spirit and body for all who will come to him. Many today say, I believe in healing, but I do not believe it is for everyone. If it is not for everyone, then how could we ever pray the prayer of faith? Among those who sought Christ from Christ during his earthly words or his earthly ministry, there was only one who prayed for healing with the words, if it be your will, and it was the leper. We're going to get to that in a minute. But what Jesus did, he did as a revelation of God's will. If we go and pray, if it be your will, when we're talking about healing, there is no faith in that. Now, Jesus prayed, if it be your will, when he was in the garden. He was doing that. It didn't have anything to do with healing. It had everything to do with God's will for him, the next step in his walk on the earth. Now, that's the way Jesus prayed that prayer. And if you want to do it scripturally, there is a place for that prayer. When you don't know what the will of God is, that's when to pray. But when God has already revealed his will, there's no reason to pray. It's like a child coming to you. Let's say, you know, your child coming up and saying, can I do such and such? Well, if you've already laid out the rules, you know, can I go ride my bike in the street? In the highway. Well, let's say it's just, can I go ride my bike down this side street? Well, if you've told them, I mean, it's not necessarily dangerous. If you've already told them, they can. They don't need to, I mean, they might ask you in a certain sense, but they don't need to completely and perpetually establish that it's your will that they do that. They may ask in a certain instance. But if you've already told them, and they know it's your will, they have a right to believe what you said. And if they're old enough and you said, yes, you can do that between such and such times, you don't have to ask me. If they keep coming back and asking you, they don't believe you. They don't believe what you said. Now, if they always come and say, you know, well, if it's your will, can I do this? Only if it's your will. Well, you already told them. Now, if they come up with something different and new and say, can I do this? And they haven't asked you before, they're wondering, what's your mind on it, right? Well, if you're being led in life and you don't know your next step and you're saying, God, you know, let's say you're praying about a job, whether you should take this job. You say, Lord, should I take this job or not? You know, not my will, but your will be done. If it's your will, I'll take this job. You want his will in the matter, right? You want to be led by him. You don't want to get in a job that's going to take you away from him. So you're saying, if it be your will. Well, that's a scriptural way to pray that. But that's not the way you pray for everything in the Bible. If God has promised, what if you said, just take it with salvation, because we'll get to this. Salvation, God has promised salvation through Jesus to all those that believe, right? So what if you preach salvation, and then the people, they come up for salvation. You say, wait, let's pray to God to, you know, it may or may not be his will for you to be saved. So you better pray, if it's your will, God save me. People would disagree with that. Well, no, we already know. He said, right? All that come to him. Well, that's what he said about healing. That's what we're going to get into. If we can establish what his will is and show what Jesus did and show what he did, then that's where you already have faith to believe what Jesus will do, what God will do. There's no use trying to figure out if it's his will for you when he's already said it's his will for you. Amen. So Jesus only prayed for one person with the words, if it be thy will, if it be your will. Go ahead and turn over real quick to Mark 1. Praise God. Mark 1, verse 40. Mark 1, verse 40. Everybody there? Or you see it on your sheet? Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. So in the one case where somebody did ask, didn't know if he was willing or not, Jesus answered and said, I am willing. And he healed him. And that's the only place in the Word where somebody came and asked if it's your will. But God is not willing. Let's look on your sheet, 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, that's in general. Yes, it applies to salvation, but all the forms of death, whether it's healing, whether it's in your body, it's in your marriage, in your finances, God came to redeem us. Jesus came to redeem us from those things. And here it says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that anybody, it's not his will that anybody should be sick. It's not his will that anybody should be burdened with disease. Look at your sheet there on James. We're just going through a few of these, and then we'll take time to turn to some others, but I want to get through some of these. James 5:14. It says, is any among you sick? Well, How would you ask that? That's in the New Testament. How would you ask that question? Is any among you sick? And then he goes on to say, let him call for the elders of the church and pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. But look at the first phrase. Is any among you sick? Well, if it was God's will for someone to remain sick, how could you even have this statement in the Bible? Huh? Let's read it again. It says, is anyone among you sick? What does anyone mean?
Anyone.
Anyone. Okay? Just a general statement. If I were to say, is anyone among you sick here? That would mean anyone. It doesn't put any qualifications on it, right? Okay, if anyone is among you sick, let that person call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Is there any hedging in there? Does it say the prayer of faith will save the sick only if it's God's will? You're reading the will of God. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick. So what is this verse start out with? Is any among you sick? So you can't say, is any among you sick? And if he is, we'll pray for him and God will raise him up, if it's God's will that some of them stay sick. Right? You can't say that. So we're focusing on who will God heal? Who will he heal? That's what we're focusing on. Numbers 21:9. It says, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. People are dying left and right. There's these snakes loose in the camp. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent is a type of Jesus. It was lifted up. He lived. Look at it in the New International Version, Numbers 21:9. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Anyone. Do you notice that? It wasn't only certain people. Well, in this situation, the Old Covenant, surely God would have had, if it were the case that God willed to heal certain people and didn't will to heal certain people, certainly there was one in all those hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, that was not supposed to be healed. But it said anyone. Of those who were bitten by the fiery serpents, the Bible says as many as looked to the serpent were, the serpent lived or were healed. Even now, as many as look to Christ as Redeemer, like we mentioned, are saved. When it comes to the benefits of Christ's redemptive work, all are on an equal basis. The words, whoever and whoever will, are always used to invite the unconverted to be saved. The words, as many as, everyone, all, or any, are used to invite the sick and the diseased to be healed. God is not a respecter of persons. Healing is for everyone. God's will is that everyone be healed. Both invitations are always universal. And the results are always positively promised. Shall be saved, shall have life, shall recover, shall raise them up, healed them all, and as many as touched him were healed. Sometimes parents show favoritism among their children, but God does not. If we meet the same conditions, we reap the same results. When we do our part, God is always faithful to do his. The benefits of redemption are for us as Christians. If God healed all, then he will still heal all, and that is all that come to him for healing. Everyone that comes to God for healing, it is God's will to heal. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read in Hebrews 13:8. Amen. Now let's look over. We're going to turn over to Matthew 12. We're going to look at some of these verses. You guys okay? Who will God heal? That's the question we're looking at. Who will God heal? We know He can heal anything. We talked about that last time. He has the power to heal anything. There is nothing too difficult for Him. His power is unlimited. His knowledge, unlimited. So who will He heal? See, a lot of people believe that He can. They'll believe what we were just talking about. He can heal anything He wants to heal. But does He want to? That's the question in people's minds. They may not phrase it like that, but they're waiting. They're waiting. They're not sure if it's their time. They're not sure if God wants them well. Not sure in this situation. Can take all forms, but it boils down to, is it God's will for me to be healed? Will He heal me? I know He healed these people. I believe in healing in general. I believe He has the power. I believe He has the ability. But what about my case? Who will He heal? You guys in Matthew? Yeah. Matthew 12, verse 15. Says, but when Jesus knew it, He withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them, what?
All.
Great multitudes. Great multitudes followed Him. That's a crowd. And how many did Jesus heal? What does all mean? Means all. Surely, if God did not want some people to be healed, surely one of them would have been not their day, would have been on the side. Healed. Oops, sorry. Red flag. I see that you are not supposed to. Please go sit down. It's not your time. But you don't see that in the Bible. Turn over to Matthew 14. Again, these are in your scripture sheet if you want to look there too. Matthew 14, verse 34. It says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized them, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to Him all who were sick. Now notice that. They sent out into all the surrounding region and brought all to Him all who were sick. Glory to God. Do you know this is what we're supposed to walk in now? Getting ahead of myself, but do you realize this is for us? Everybody say, this is for me. Now. Today. Guys, this has not passed away. What we're reading about now is the way it's supposed to be, but people look at it and go, oh yeah, well that was then. Well, now we have to do without. That's not true. That's not the word. See, it's doubt. The reason we don't have it is because people don't believe it. If we can get people to believe, what's the remedy for unbelief, the kind that is ignorant? You have to hear the word. Now, you can be unbelieving. People can be unbelieving because they refuse to believe. But we don't want to be in that category. We can believe. We choose to believe. Just keep reading. So verse 35, and when the men of that place recognized him, they recognized Jesus and said, oh, it's him. Go get everybody that's sick and bring them here. Now, when we're reading it, don't let this just be a scripture. Think about it and say, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is what's supposed to happen. Praise God. Praise God. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what God wills. We're reading the will of God. The men of that place recognized him. They sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Huh? So they went out and got all the people who were sick, and as many as touched the hem of his garment were made perfectly well, whole, healed. Glory to God. Look on your sheet there. You stay in Matthew in your Bible. Look on your sheet at Luke 6:17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. So notice, a great multitude of people came to hear him and to be healed. Notice, why did they come? They came to hear him and to be healed. Did they come expecting something?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Why did they come? They're expecting. I'm going to hear him and I'm going to be healed. They believe something. It says, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. They sought to touch him. Why? Power went out from him. The power of Almighty God, resident in the earth. Power went out from him to heal. And to heal how many? Tell me.
All.
Surely there's one. Just wasn't their time. See, why aren't we seeing that? It's because it's not true. That's made up. That's not the Bible. Those are men's doctrines that are made because to explain people not seeing it, to explain lack of results. It's not the Bible. It's not what we have. We receive these things by faith. Notice the people coming to Jesus, they believed something. They came believing, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to hear him and I'm going to be healed. Huh? They said power came out from him and they were healed. I'm coming. I get everybody. You don't go get people if you don't believe they're going to be healed. No, it works by faith. See, everything that we get from the Lord on this earth is by faith. We have to believe. The Bible says it's impossible to please him without faith. Faith gives action to the power. Faith is what is the hand that pulls what he has purchased for us already into this realm. You can see faith on the part of these individuals because they're going to get people. They're saying, come. Bring anybody. You know somebody that's sick? Get them. Bring them. You say, well, I don't see that. This happens in the world now. You know when it happens? When people start believing. When we start pulling on what is already ours. Why has this happened in other countries and not here sometimes? Is because people are expecting and believing and pulling on the anointing. The anointing is the power of God. Just like we're reading here, T.L. Osborne, who is a great evangelist, he and had a tremendous healing ministry, he would go to other countries. People would come, and I've heard other accounts, people now, there's one individual I'm thinking of that we know that's not too far, that's in a is stationed in Pennsylvania, that goes around the world and has seen things, and he talks about people coming to meetings he's held. But back to T.L. Osborne, people would carry people great distances to get them to the meeting. You don't do that unless you believe something. People don't let themselves be carried unless they believe something. They are coming, expecting, and when you get thousands or hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of people in a place all pulling on Almighty God, not getting Him to do something, pulling on Him and believing Him to do the thing He's already promised, we will see miracles. And that's why these people believe. You can't give people to drive halfway across town in this country half the time, let alone walk multiple miles through the dark to get somewhere, because they believe if they get there, they will be healed. And they are. Crippled people, blind people, deaf people. This isn't passed away. It's because we've grown dark. We don't believe it. What's the remedy for that? Preach the word, what we're doing. Let's look at the word. What is ours? What has been stolen from us? What did Jesus do? And what has been passed to us? When we believe and act on the word, God will do His part every time. Are you still in Matthew? Go back to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with the word and healed, how many? All who were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. See, He healed them all. But it says here that it would be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, His covenant. He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus has borne the sicknesses and infirmities of the whole world, just like He's borne the sins of the whole world. But how do you become born again? How do you receive salvation? You believe that He has carried your sins and you appropriate it. That's the same way we're healed. The whole world, the sins of the whole world have been paid for now today, but not everybody receives it. People reject it and they go to hell. Well, even people that receive salvation, we're talking about being born again, because that word salvation, we'll get into this, I believe, another time. We mentioned it the first time. The word salvation is so much bigger than just being born again. It includes healing. It includes being well in every area. But even people that have been born again, if they don't believe that God has borne their sicknesses, that Jesus bore their sicknesses, they can die. They go to heaven, but they don't receive healing, even though it's been paid for. Same way that somebody doesn't believe he's died for their sins could go to hell. It's not any different. Jesus has bought and paid for these things as part of our covenant with him. They're ours. Everybody say, it's mine. Healing's mine. It's been bought and paid for. So if he bore them, that word bore implies a substitution. It's not. It implies that he did it in place of us. So he's already paid for it. If you were to go out to eat after this service day, you're going to go out to eat to lunch, and you went into a restaurant, and you ordered your food, and had a nice time, and got done with your meal, and you know, you said, hey, to your waiter, check please, or you know, you turned around the Ziosk, because so many of these restaurants have these things now, and you go to pay, and there's nothing there. It says you owe nothing, or you know, you do flag down your waiter, waitress, and say, hey, I'm ready to pay. Well, it's already been taken care of. Somebody already paid for it. Well, who did it? They don't want me to tell you, but somebody in the restaurant, they already took care of it. And you said, no, but I want to take care of it. Would you do that? Did you say, no, I want to pay anyway. Let me pay. But if Jesus bore our sicknesses, there's no sense in our bearing them. We don't have to be sick because he already paid for them. He took them. It's done. It's not going to be done. It's done. He already paid for it. It's to all who believe. If we'll receive it and say, yeah, that's mine. It is mine. I'm a whosoever. I'm part of that all. I'm coming. Jesus, I believe you. Enough with this that it's not there. That it can't happen in my life. That's religious junk. We have to flush that stuff from our brain. Don't let it have any place and start acting on what the Bible says and we'll have Bible results. Let's stop looking and saying, oh, isn't that great, the revival they had over there in a different country and all those people are healed. Just I wish God would move like that in my life. That is unbelief. We got to get rid of that and start saying, he's already said he would. He's proven it in his word that he does. I believe that's for me. The Bible says he will heal all. Look on your sheet there. Psalm 89:34 says, my covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. He will not fail to do what he has said he will do. This is a covenant. It is paid for. And if it's paid for, we can receive it. Look at Luke 4:40. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any sick, that were sick with various disease, brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Look at again. They're just bringing people from everywhere. And he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. Now look down at Luke 22. I just want to make mention that, then we'll wrap up. You know, maybe look at one of these other scriptures, but we'll wrap up there. But I just wanted to throw this in. Some people say, well, I don't know about me. We're talking about who will God heal. Look at this account, Luke 22:47. Now this is when Jesus is in the garden. They're coming to get him and to end up crucifying him. Verse 47, and while he was still speaking, behold a multitude, and he who was called Judas, so Judas is betraying him, one of the 12 went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? 49, when those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them, Peter, says in a different account, One of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't think he was going for the ear. He's a fisherman. He's not a soldier. I think he's probably going to split his head, and he just missed, and he just cut off his ear. But this guy is coming to arrest Jesus. He's one of the group that's coming to arrest Jesus. Would you call that person a friend of Jesus at this point? Somebody that's kind to him? You could more say he's more like an enemy at this point. But what did Jesus said in the other place, in another account of this, he said, put your swords away. But here he says, permit even this, and look what he did. If you have any doubt of God's will to heal you, or that somehow he doesn't care, or somehow he won't take the time, Jesus, remember the situation Jesus is in. Jesus knows he's going to be crucified. Just a few moments earlier, he's sweating blood. He is not taking this. He knows what his physical body is going to go through. This is where he prayed, not my will, but your will be done. His physical self, his flesh is recoiling at the thought of what he's going to have to go through. And he says to God, if there's any other way we can do this, take this cup from me. He's being pushed to the brink of what a human can bear. Now, he is God walking in the flesh, but the Bible says he emptied himself. He's walking as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, he couldn't take you and I our place. He had to walk like us. So he's being pressed on. You want to talk about stress? I mean, people say, I'm stressed out at work. It ain't like this, probably. Else, your job, you need to get another job, probably. So he is in the middle of a stressful situation. Now these people are coming to get him, to take him away, and he knows what's coming. Now they couldn't take him, we know that, unless he allowed it. Another account, they come up, said, are you he? He says, I am, and they all fall down. His power was there. He didn't have to be taken. He allowed himself to be taken. So them drawing the sword and trying to combat, well, he doesn't need that help. If that's what he wanted, he doesn't need a fisherman cutting off somebody's ear. He could have blasted all of them away with a word. Huh? He doesn't need that. But the man's ear gets cut off, and in the midst of Jesus being taken away, knowing what is coming next, and in that midst, look what he does. He touches his ear, and he heals what you could say at this point is his enemy. But how great is his compassion? Who does God will to heal? All who will come to him, all who will let him. So when we get this, we can have this thought, well, I don't know if God, does God care about me? He cared about his enemy right before he's going to be crucified. And you think, you're turning toward him and somehow he doesn't care for you. Doesn't God know what I'm going through? Of course he does. We need to believe that what he said is true. Believe that he's willing. Believe, because account after account says all. We have to start seeing ourselves as part of that all and say it. If he healed all, he heals all. He heals me. If he'll heal his enemy, he'll heal me. I receive that and I believe it. And quit acting like we're trying to get him to do something that he's already said he'll do. Start believing that he will do it, that he can do it, that his power is toward us, and receive all that he's promised and all that he's accomplished on the cross. Praise God. Thank God. He will heal anyone that comes to him. All. Every time. Praise God. Why don't you please stand to your feet?